Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM. And most importantly, people, BDSIR Networks, the soul in sports. Welcome to episode 1996. And people, this is your host. You already know who I am, people. We've been doing this now for almost 10 years. Yours truly, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's. Because like those blind referees last night in the Golden State versus Houston's game, yeah, you got to be hardcore to call, not have a no call like that. And that's who you're talking to, people. First, the particulars, 347-637-3859, the number to call in. But as always, people, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it simply this way. The NFL Wild Card Weekend is here, and people, guess who's in the dance? Guess who made it back? Oh, Saint Nick, say it ain't so. The Philadelphia Eagles, with all kind of prayers and given by a saint, we just called him Saint Nick, is back in the playoffs. The world champions are there, but what would they do against the monsters of the Midway Part 2, people? Can they go to Chicago? Can they upset the Chicago Bears? Will the Dallas Cowboys be what we all think they do and is? And will do and choke. Will that happen? People, the NFL, it is fantastic. Just like Monday night, everything is about to change, people. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, people, this happened last weekend. He is back. John Bones Jones. Is he what we should be, what he should be to you? Do you still love John Jones? I call him the GOAT of MMA, and I will stand by that point. What was he accused of? How it transpired? I call conspiracy, people. But welcome to the program, the show's icons, Ayatollahs and rock and rollers, all including Happy Wrestle Kingdom to you. Welcome to the program, as always, live from the home state, Virginia. We got our man Micah in the house, Emmy Richmond on the Twitters, where you can find him. What's going on, Micah?
Oh my gosh, how Sway, how did the Eagles backdoor their way into the playoffs?
Look,
at least there's one team. At least there's one team happy in Pennsylvania right now. There's at least one team happy in Pennsylvania that they actually made their way to the playoffs, because unlike some other teams, they made sure they actually got together and did their thing. Man, and look what happened. Hey, they gave my guy an offensive line and a guy who actually knows how to coach. And look what happened. We're back in the playoffs, which I didn't expect that to happen, actually.
No, you didn't.
None of us. And me, I did not expect them to even make the wild card spot. I thought they were going to finish fourth in the division. I thought they were going to finish fourth behind Jacksonville. Well, now they're back to Stinksonville, but whatever, you know. So, yeah, man, I'm pretty stoked. I'm pretty happy. No rhymes this time because let's keep it simple, man. It's just going to be a fun weekend. Fun weekend.
It is. And last weekend was a great sports weekend for myself, although Notre Dame went down to Clemson. I went 3-1 on the weekend, so I was pretty happy with that. But also join us today from the new Twitch show on J. Chris. What's going on, J. Chris?
What's going on, gentlemen? Wild card weekend. I'm excited. I'm tired. A lot of work going on this week. But let me see. You said the Eagles taking on the Monsters, the Midway. Cowboys in the playoffs. I know we're going to talk about it, so I'm not going to give away too much too early. But it's going to be an exciting weekend. It's going to be an exciting show at the same time. Rest in peace, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Rest in peace, Mean Gene Okerlund. You said it before us, who are the wrestling guys here. So rest in peace, Mean Gene Okerlund. Today, 4 years ago, we lost Stuart Scott. Okay, so I do dedicate this show to both of those guys right there. Stuart Scott for being inspirational as a black guy in the business, and Gene Okerlund. People call him an announcer. I didn't consider him an announcer. To me, he was bigger than an announcer. Lillian Garcia is an announcer. JoJo's an announcer. Brian Roberts was an announcer. Michael Buffer's an announcer. I think Mean Gene Okerlund was more than just an announcer. When he came, and it's much as I still don't like Vagant, it was nothing. What do you say, Mean Gene? Like it just goes with the territory. And this guy was such a class act. So today we're gonna put on a show, guys, and put on a show we shall with NFL Wild Card Weekend. So I put my picks, gentlemen, up already as we hashtag lock it up for the NFL Wild Card Weekend. But before we get to that, tell me, y'all saw the end to that Golden State game, because I slept during the first half. Turned to the game literally in the start of the third quarter, and I said, damn, it's 73-53. This game is over. Okay? So I turned the hell back over. Woke up to see the final shot by James Harden, and then saw the replays of it. Did you see this incredible basketball game last night, J. Chris?
I did. I caught it late. I didn't even catch it when it was when Golden State had a 20-point lead. I caught it late.
Quarter. You was like the rest of us watching.
No, it's funny.
You know,
I was
surviving.
I was at work.
Because I had to remove it from my
Netflix.
I was definitely watching that.
And then
face.
I had to start watching the first episode because I missed most of the first episode. So I had to watch.
I imagine your show tomorrow
is
on at 1 o'clock, and I am at work at 1 o'clock. Because I would really love to call into that show as a diehard, probably one of the biggest male R. Kelly fans you've ever known. And as my wife's words were exactly, to cut you off, not to cut you off, was, this is like Daryl Strawberry all over again for me. Because I was a huge Daryl Strawberry fan. Like, the reason I rocked the ball hit in the 90s was because of R. Kelly. Continue. It's a tragedy. I'm sorry. Like I always thought there was smoke where the fire was, and I always I felt like we all enabled that situation. The fans, his friends, his closest people, the parents. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody enabled this guy because it's all because honestly, if this happened today, as we are today with technology and social media, his career would have been done. He'd be in prison. But it happened back then when it wasn't so common, and we got word of mouth was our biggest rumors. But it's a sports show. I'm sorry. New Twitch show tomorrow. I'm quite sure he'll be talking about it, J. Chris. Plug it real fast.
And tell us it's tomorrow at 1 p.m. Exclusively on New Twitch Radio. Check it out. And then, yeah, I mean, I have to put the link out there.
You might
catch
the
bootleg
later
the link
that
yet.
Night in the barbershop. I might actually steal it and put it on here tomorrow. That's how big I know that show's going to be. To be honest, I might just rip it from you, steal it, you know, blind tagged it.
That's cool. That's cool with me. That's cool with me. That's all right with me. But, yeah, back to the game. I caught the game late in the fourth quarter. And the game was close, but it was, I mean, I think the Golden State, you know, was kind of fluctuating. They were up 7, they were up 2, they were up 5.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I kind of turned away from it saying, okay, you know, it's not that much time left. Golden State is up by, you know, not a significant amount, but enough where I don't think that Houston's going to come back.
Yeah, it was like
not
a 12.
Not back to the game because I figured Chuck, and Kenny and Shaq and what's his name is on. I can't remember his name right now. Ernie, it was on, and I'm like, all right, let me see what the guys are talking about. And the game was still on, and it said 4 minutes left. What the hell happened? And I saw it was overtime. I said, oh my god. And then the final shot by Harden was wow, clutch.
Listen.
Clutch.
Can I
but
say
you
this?
Know what? I don't know.
LeBron James would never hit a shot like that.
LeBron James has hit shots like that. I mean, come on.
With two people?
Like
hold on. With two all the defensive player of the year and two all first team defenders in his face jumps in that never has LeBron hit a shot like
that. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't really impressed with the shot. I mean, I was impressed with the fact that he made the shot. I wasn't really impressed with the shot itself because we've seen that from him and others multiple times.
Right.
So I was impressed with, but the shot itself I wasn't impressed with. But for him to hit that shot in that moment was huge. Now let's see if he can do it in the playoffs. I'll be a little more impressed. He's done it many times in the regular season. Just him doing it.
Well, LeBron has done that. So there you go. LeBron's back on top. Just not the GOAT. Sorry, Michael told him you can't call yourself that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Will Chamberlain.
That game with the no call. The no call is so like that brother was out of bounds. Not 1 foot.
Oh,
not 2 feet. Not three. Not. But he took 4 steps, threw the ball back in bounds. For those who don't know what happened, by now you had to seen it. Okay. And to save the play to get the shot to Steph Curry at that point in that moment for Golden State to go up. And it's like, how come that play was not reviewable? Why do we have replay if plays like that cannot be reviewable?
But tell me this. Before you even talk about it being reviewable, how in the good hell is that call not made?
I'm sorry.
How
there is no such
made?
Thing as a good – there's no such thing as a good hell. No, there's
there
no hell that's good.
I just
what hell is good? Oh, you know what? Actually, we're in hell on earth, and it's not too bad, right? So technically, there could be an okay
we're used
hell.
To it.
Not a good hell.
We're used to it. I think we've grown accustomed to it. But
Mike,
my thing
you
is, you know,
game.
How does that call not get made? Like how? Like that? I mean, there's been close calls. I'm like, okay, how did he not make that call? But it was close. This one was
like
undeniably.
Yeah, like the back of the foot. How do you see a brother's toe his foot out of bounds when he's trying to inbound the ball or dribble up the court? You call him out of bounds. You don't call that out of bounds. The fix was in.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I could not. If I never believed in fixes in sports, that play, seeing that play not happen or happen,
right
or however you want to say it, that will make me a believer that fixes are there. I couldn't believe it. When I saw the replay, I'm astounded.
Nah.
I'm still astounded right now that
whistle
was blown on it.
Micah, your
thoughts
on that
call? What were they possibly looking at? What are they possibly looking at?
Maybe they were practicing auditioning for Bird Box 2.
Oh, I haven't watched Bird Box yet.
I didn't either. I told you, I stole your post on the only Bird Box I'll be watching is the Eagles game. I kind of stole that from you.
Oh yeah,
Mike.
Oh,
did you see the game last night, or you see the play in which we're talking about from last night?
Mike, what day is it?
It's Friday.
Mike, what day is it?
It's not Hump Day. It's
Friday, right? What day of the month are we in right now?
January 4th, 2019.
Exactly. So nothing that this dude did doesn't even matter because we know what he does best. Reggie Aloysius Miller did it great when he did it with the New York Knicks. He gonna put his hands around his own neck and choke. So I don't care that he got a shot off or that he missed 44 points. I don't care, but I ain't worried about no dead gut. He shot a good shot. Congratulations. You did that when it doesn't matter. You did that even though in the West right now is very jumbled up. You know, a couple of games here and a couple of games there will make a difference as far as your seeding. But at the end of the day, Mike D'Antoni and James Harden are the same guy. They show that they can do some unbelievable things on offense, and they suck at defense. It's the only D he's not willing to suck. Just saying. It's the only
that
D he's willing to suck. So there it is.
That's not what
so he needs. So I only care about called James Harden his stupid outfits and his beard because he is not important to the complexity and the realness in the NBA. Because when he had Trevor Ariza and he had actual defense helping him out last year, then the boy was dangerous. Now he's just doing the same old thing he always did. He's going to fizzle out in the first or second round like he always does because he puts all his stock in the regular season, kind of like Russell Westbrook.
Can I ask you guys a question? Can I pose a question to the panel?
Pose the question.
Is James Harden a top five player in the NBA to you right now?
Absolutely. I think
right
he
now?
I think he is. I think he has been in the last 5 years.
You said a top five offensive weapon player.
I think that's underrated in today's NBA to call, you know, there's not many two-way players in the NBA. So the NBA today is about
Help me out. As a basketball casual, how is there not such thing as a two-way player when you have to play two ways in basketball? Help me out.
Because I mentioned for this for those who just let me lessen a little bit and take it to like a video game world. There's 2K. There's help defense, and I play real basketball. I don't have to be the greatest on-ball defender. I got to play my spot. So if he's coming somewhere else, my other defender, my teammate's supposed to be there to help me out. That's what team defense is for. It's not one-on-one defense. It's team defense because it's a team sport. Say that James Harden is not a top five player in the NBA over the last 5 years is a joke. He's a top five player in his league, hands down.
No, I didn't say 5 years.
I'm saying last year before that,
I know he was the MVP. I know he was the MVP
he was the MVP because no one else really could do what he did. He was the best player on the best team.
It was LeBron fatigue. It was something new we hadn't seen, like the year before my man getting
Westbrook. Westbrook getting a triple double. Is he on pace to average a third year in a row of a triple double?
No, he didn't average it last year. He lost it
last
year.
No, he did average a triple double last year.
No, he didn't. Go check the stats.
I need to check my stats because
I gotta be honest,
guys.
He's not my top five. He's not my top five, and I like Harden.
So you're gonna sit here already and put Giannis? I'm assuming. Let me take that back because that wouldn't be fair to you. You're gonna put Giannis above him? Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Am I gonna put Giannis above him? Probably.
No way.
Probably.
I already got LeBron James, Kevin Durant.
Right, you got LeBron
me,
James.
Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard. For my top five, I got one of the best two-way players in the league. Based on what you said, as your definition, you're not going to understand.
Anthony Davis.
One of the best on-ball defenders in Kawhi Leonard. I'm not going to put Anthony Davis,
who I love. I'm not going to put the Southsider guy, who I love, nor Kawhi Leonard, for the reasons of whether they win in the playoffs or not irrelevant right now. We're talking about right now. Davis ain't getting the job done with wins. I just found out he's 25
years old.
That's not
his fault, though. He just said it's a team game.
They had a team last year. What did he do?
Yeah, but they had a better team last year. They had a better team last year, but Anthony Davis himself has been very consistent. Even I know that much, and I suck at basketball knowledge. But he's been very consistent.
I'm not saying his greatness is good, but you can't hold his greatness down because his team sucks.
No,
I can't because I've seen guys like LeBron take lesser talent to win. So, yes, I can.
Michael Jordan didn't take lesser talent to win. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
The same. If you can take lesser talent and win, that's a little unfair.
No, you don't.
Okay, hold on. Let me finish this point. But he doesn't have Chris Paul. He doesn't have Eric Gordon. It's pretty much just him. It's pretty much just James Harden. Let's be real here. Watch this game. Watch this team. It's pretty much James Harden right now. Chris Paul, all this year, hasn't played. Melo, they told him to go home. We're going to pay you to sit home. Go make other side chick babies. Right? So, right now, other than – and I said he's not in there in my top five, right? If in the top four or five, it for me would be five, I would have Joel Embiid. Because I think that I'm always am prone to big men in basketball because I don't think they get enough credit. And I think Joel Embiid right now is the guy that should be on pace for getting. I've watched almost every 76ers game this year. I think he's in verge of being the MVP, but not being talked about because they traded for Jimmy Butler and they're not winning flashy the way they should win.
He, as much as I want to agree with you,
because
I want to agree with you because he's a Sixer, right? I'm not.
I thought that was your wrong way.
I'm not there with Embiid on this particular conversation, just because the guys that I mentioned are more ball dominant than Embiid is.
Okay.
But everything you said about him, I agree with. But as far as this conversation is concerned, I don't have him in my top five. Now let me.
Anthony Davis isn't ball dominant.
You don't agree with Anthony Davis. I don't even think I said Steph Curry.
I love Anthony Davis, but I don't. I know you do.
I'm just saying, but you don't agree with him.
Honestly, this is where it was. I think we put Kawhi too high. I'm not saying Kawhi is not good, but Kawhi, what's happening with the Raptors, what's happening with Milwaukee is what's happened in the East in recent years. I'm being honest with you. No one's beating Boston when it boils down to it. When it comes to the playoffs, it's going to be Boston in the finals. If they don't get hurt, if no one gets hurt in Boston, no one's beating that team. They're
Boston
too deep.
I have a hard time disagreeing with you. However, Toronto is so deep. Like last year, I told you many times in the year, I don't believe in Toronto. I just didn't believe in that team. I believe in them a lot more now because of Kawhi, because of how dominant they are early in the season. You have to. You kind of have to, right? Being that Kawhi has given this team somewhat of an identity that they didn't really have before. They were just kind of like last year. They were kind of a good, talented team that were just winning the games that they needed to win and could beat and you could really compete with everybody. Now with Kawhi, they're kind of the team that, all right, we're going to beat who we're supposed to beat. We can run with anybody except for the Spurs last night, but we can run with anybody, and we can potentially blow out anybody as well because of how deep we are. Okay, now
I think that's the team that we always see in the regular season do something that they don't do. That's what I think with Toronto.
I was waiting for the show so I could say this, and I didn't. I think that team now that Toronto was like last year before. I think that team is the Sixers now. And I hate saying this because I think the word is out in the NBA. The Sixers cannot hold a lead. And that's what Toronto was before.
They can't.
But now Toronto holds leads. They weren't holding leads before. Everybody knew you can come back on Toronto when the season's past. Sixers, you can have a 20-point lead, and they know you can still beat the Sixers even though they have a 20-point lead. Toronto's not the same case anymore.
I'll give you that, but I think that's more Benny than anything. I think that's Benny, and I'm gonna say this much: the Sixers will not go nowhere until Brett Brown leaves. For Brett Brown to have been this whole coach that we expected to, I'm that fan. Excuse me, guys, I'm hit the microphone. I'm that fan between two cities. You know what I'm saying? So people say like, well, who are you cheering for? I'm a Chicago everything first, except for when it comes to football. And I've said that repeatedly, and I always will say that. So I have a lot, but I still have a lot of love for the Bears. I still have a lot of love for the Sixers, the Flyers, because that's where I grew up at also. I love those teams, just not more than my Chicago teams. Brett Brown is not going to win this team a championship. It's not. He gets out-coached so much, including on Christmas Day, which was a travesty in that game. So because you have a coach, we just went from the discussion of the top five players to now we talk about the team. But I just think to answer your question,
Real quick nugget just came out today. Wojciechowski, or you know the guy's name. Jimmy Butler's a little unhappy in Philadelphia right now. He's unhappy and he challenged. He verbally challenged and aggressively challenged. This is according to report. Verbally aggressively challenged the coaching of Brett Brown.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy wants more isolation. He wants more pick and roll. Here's the problem, and it goes back to coaching, like you were saying. The only person that you can really run a pick and roll with on the Sixers
is J.J. Redick.
Not because, well, yes, but
well,
no, because J.J. Redick is not really that ball handler. It's Embiid. Right.
Embiid, right.
It's Embiid because you can't leave.
But you can
Embiid
hit the midi or back his, or turn his back to the basket. Right. The basket.
With Ben Simmons being the point guard and being ball dominant, you can't run a pick and roll with Ben Simmons.
Can't,
you don't have
you can't
to
shoot.
You don't have to worry about his jump
right.
shot. Can't shoot. Won't shoot.
Won't shoot.
So,
you don't know if he
you know,
can
that's,
shoot.
That can be a little that can be a little bit of an issue. You know, and you know, here in Philadelphia, the question is, okay, we got Jimmy. Can Jimmy be happy enough to resign? That's
well,
the issue.
Well, I said from the beginning, I wouldn't have made that trade because I don't think he could be happy there. I think from the first game when he played, they isolated him to tell him that this is not your team. This is my team in Embiid and my team in Simmons. I also believe that Simmons is going to walk. I believe that in my heart that Simmons is going to walk. So I believe the Sixers have a very short window. This year, like I said, I think no one can beat Boston, but Philly has a chance because Philly has talent. And sometimes talent, whether it's starting talent you know, or not, you have talent. They have talent. They can do it. Jimmy Butler is a dog, as Stephen A. Smith would say. But Brett Brown constantly does not put him in good positions. He doesn't. You cannot trade for a player and give up as much as they gave up. Okay? They gave up two starters. Okay? For this
and not know how to play with him.
I get the yeah buts, but you traded for him, and you traded with a 1 year. You traded with the intent of we're going to play good to make you stay. That was the intent. We're going to get you, hoping that you will like the culture here, like the coaching staff here, like how we're playing, and get you to stay. That was the, that's the mindset. Hashtag facts. They're not doing it.
Well,
Brett
here's
Brown
the thing.
Cannot get the job.
Here's the thing about that trick. Here's the thing about that trade. I almost cussed because I thought my mic was muted. Sorry. given the hindsight, if you asked me to make that trade today, knowing what I know now, I still make that trade.
Of course. I mean,
because,
only a fool not make that trade. You have to make that trade.
Because,
it's Jimmy Butler.
Right, it's Jimmy Butler. But even if Jimmy Butler decides not to come back, that's more money.
Okay.
That's more
you
money to
it.
Go out and get somebody. So, you know, you can try to make something happen.
As long as Brett Brown's the coach, no one's coming. They can see
that
he gets out.
That's a big problem.
They can see that he gets out. The problem is I thought the Bulls should have hired Mark Jackson. As long as Mark Jackson sits there, that's the coach that players want to go play for because that's the coach outside of a Coach K that players respected. That Golden State team damn near like Buddy Ryan in the Super Bowl being carried off by the defense of the Chicago Bears. That Golden State team was like, yo, he pretty much won us this championship. Okay? I mean, in the media, pretty much, you know, this was, you know, Mark Jackson's team. He just got, you know, kicking him over like the Tony Dungy syndrome. But let's go into these weekend games, guys. The NFL, it is here. I put my picks up. Hashtag lock it up. Hashtag bet that. And the first game on the docket, Micah, your Indianapolis Colts are back in the playoffs. Andrew had a lot of luck left. T.Y. Hilton's hair is getting long. I'm not sure if he's been hanging out with Genuine, so I'm not sure if it's real or it's fake. But either way, our offensive coordinator got you in the playoffs. Texans are the underdog, I mean, our favorite in this game, I'm sorry, by a point and a half, which is really crazy because I know the points where it's tend to go down. This is the third meeting also being a division rivalry matchup, but not three being at home. No home, no game is three at home except for Baltimore over L.A. We'll talk about that. 2 points is the spread. I'm sorry. Give me the Houston Texans at home. And I had a hard time in this game because I believe in the luck that Andrew has left. And I think this team is playing good offensively. They got mad weapons. Andrew Luck is proving that. Maybe the Eagles should have let Carson Wentz not play for a year. That's how I feel when I watch Andrew Luck play right now. He is a gunslinger. He's out there. He's leading this team. I just cannot go against Texans at home. This is what they've been waiting on. This is the comeback year for them. You got the defense. You got Clowney. You got Watts. You got Watts and little cousin over here. I'm taking Houston Texans to 2 points, Micah. How you got your home team going? Or your team going in Indianapolis Colts? Can they win this game on the road?
Well, here's the thing about that game. The Colts is going to win, and they're going to win for this reason.
Okay.
They're going to win for this reason, and this is my belief. Now, Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt, fantastic. There's no denying the defensive front that the Houston Texans have. Their secondary is suspect. That's one thing. Second thing, their sack rate for Andrew Luck was 18. Now, you know his first 3 years in the league, he was getting destroyed, like murdered. Guess who's getting murdered like Andrew Luck was getting murdered his first 3 years? Deshaun Watson.
There's no offensive line. There's no offensive line.
Two stacks. Now, granted, he can make up for some of the mistakes between him and DeAndre Hopkins. They can make up for some of the mistakes of the offensive line, but this is playoff football. And Andrew Luck has experience with bad teams being able to win in the playoffs. So imagine when he actually has an actual running game, a decent offensive line, and a defense that can create somewhat of a pass rush against a bad offensive line team. Give me the Colts to win outright. It's still going to be a close game because of the divisional matchup. But the Colts are going to win outright most likely by at the most 3 points.
Here's the thing with that. Like, normally when I have my picks, there's no conviction. There's very few convictions in a game. And this week I have two in this wild card weekend. Okay? And this is actually one of them. Let me take that back. I have a few convictions where my picks were they can go either way. They're coin toss flips. Like, normally I would say, okay, we'll see. You know, I'll be very boastful and very cocky about my picks. Like, I had Indianapolis all week long until today. And it was just, a feeling just came over me that this is where greatness is made in the playoffs. And if Deshaun Watson, you have to overcome a bad line. You got to overcome the injuries that this team has had. You got to overcome that. The defense has to step up, and they're playing at home. This is where we're going to see if the coaching staff, is he real? Should he have stayed in college at Penn State? Is he real? So I'm taking, like I said, with that for the Houston. He got, of course, his team, which he doesn't always pick with his team out there listening, 347-637-3859. Shout out to King Von Genius 720 on the Twitter, y'all. Get with that man. He's a good artist, y'all. All right? Make me a Superman cup. He might make it, although I've never seen no Superman from this cat. But, you know, he's a marble head. But, Jay Chris, who you got in this game? Houston is favored by 2 points at home.
Before I give you my pick, I just want to say congratulations to me for winning the Fantasy League Championship. Okay, just want to put that out there. In this game this weekend, you know, my cousin plays for Houston. Little cousin Deshaun plays for Houston, all right? So I don't go against Houston. However, I believe the Indianapolis Colts are the hottest team in the NFL.
That was
amazing. I'm not sure what that boo was for. Is that for
that boo was
Indianapolis
talking,
being the hottest
trash
team?
No, it was you for talking trash about fantasy football. I will never draft again on air.
I was just congratulating myself. I wasn't talking trash.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to give myself a Barry Horowitz. That's all. I'm going to give myself a Barry Horowitz. All right.
Give myself a Barry Horowitz. Absolutely. A little pat on the back.
What you got with the damn game?
I like the hottest team in the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts. They're the hottest team going right now. Like them to win this game. They have a good record against Houston. In Houston, I believe. Andrew Luck has a good record against Houston. So, I'm not big on the history. You know that. You know I'm not big on the history. But, you know, I just wanted to put that out there because somebody said it to me. So I just wanted to put it out there so I could sound a little smarter. I like the Colts to win this game. Give me Indianapolis.
All right. Lock it up. You shall. Lock it up. I just can't do it, guys. I just can't do it. I can't. I don't know. It's something in me that says your cousin better show up. That's all I know. So, you better lock it up for me, y'all.
You better lock it up.
All right, number two.
From the family name, yeah.
Lock it up.
Saturday night, formerly known as America's Team, trying to become America's Team again. Yes, they're the most watched franchise in the NFL. All their televised games are through the roof. So, I guess, argument's sake, they're still America's Team. I don't know why, but they are. Favorite by 2 points at home. This was a tough game to call for me. And believe it or not, I took Dallas to win this game. And as I said this before, when every pundit is so concerned about, like, I've watched Dallas all year. Here's something a little intip. When I have my teams that are my teams, as you all know, I watch my division and all my sports very closely. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to know what you're talking about. And, of course, everybody talked about Dallas. So we don't talk about them that much in this program. We give them no props on this program because only Dallas fan on this program is through our Twitter, is through our social media. You know what I'm saying? So no one talks Dallas. This team is almost cussed on air. Good. This team is really good. And that trade for Amari Cooper changed this team. This is not week 3 against them. The thing here is that It's the question you ask yourself. You look at the Texans game. Who you going to? You want to take Andrew Luck? You going to take what? Oh, I think I'm going to take Andrew Luck. You going to take Jackson? You going to take, Phillip Rivers? Oh, I'm going to take Phillip Rivers. You going to take Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson has done it. Oh, I'm going to take Nick Foles because there's Lamar Trubisky. I'm going to take Dallas. I think Ezekiel Elliott is the best running back that we have seen in the NFL since the early years of, Dimes himself. Okay, because I think he was for a 3-year stretch, Shady McCoy was the best running back in football, and not just he was an Eagle. It was just things that he could do. I was calling him Barry Sanders 2.0 on this program before Chris Collinsworth or anybody else was calling him that. I just think Ezekiel is a once in a lifetime generation running back, and I think what they can do in that passing game now with the confidence they're getting, I'm taking Dallas. And the 2 points in this game, Jay Chris, and it actually burns my britches.
You lock it up.
Are you finished? Are you finished with your love affair with Ezekiel Elliott and his crop top
shirt?
Right. Are you finished?
Well, this man got a crop top shirt. I love nothing about Ezekiel Elliott. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not done. I'm finished and I'm done.
Okay. First of all, I disagree with the Ezekiel Elliott thing. He is good. Don't get me wrong. He is damn good. Saquon Barkley is probably going to be the best running back we've seen since cut on dime, whatever the number was. Just saying. Saquon's a bad boy. And Saquon, I saw a stat where Saquon, per touch, per game and all that, his numbers were better than Zeke. Just saying. With a worse, way worse.
Third year in a row, you're the top leading rusher in the NFL. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't take that away from him. Absolutely. Saquon Barkley was right there with him with less touches and a worse offensive line. That's all I'm saying. But that being said, all week I was like, yeah, I think I'm picking Dallas in this game, but I'm not. And it's not because of the hate.
I picked Seattle until today. I changed all my picks today. Every pick I have, except for my lock of the week, I switched today. So go ahead.
I'm rocking with Seattle to come into Dallas and pull the upset. Vegas is really liking Dallas in this game, and
of course.
Like that line is really talking to is saying the line is saying Dallas to me. The line is really saying it, but I like Seattle. I like Seattle to come in and pull the upset. Not a lot of talk about Seattle this year. They started slow, and not a lot of people really believed in them after, you know, their defense really kind of got after the defense. I'll address that in a second, Vaughn. After Seattle's slow start, nobody was really talking about Seattle. But, you know, Jim Carroll kind of got the ball rolling on that team, and I think they're going in the right direction. I just think that this is not the team Dallas wanted to see right now, honestly, because, you know, where do you stop them? What do you do to stop them? I'm not really sure. So I'm going with Seattle in this game, and it's not the hate. Where the Giants? The Giants had a terrible record. With a terrible offensive line.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up.
The Giants are at home.
Lock it up.
Unlike our team.
How you got this game going, Micah?
Well, here's the thing. We got the same exact team, and the difference is the quarterback and star wide receiver. That's the main difference. If I've got the same
team.
Who's
the same team?
It's the exact same team. It's a running game. It's a running game, play defense first team. That's both the teams' basic.
Be the same, they're not the same team, bro.
That's perfectly fine. You could think that. When I see them play football, I see the same exact team. The differences are star wide receiver and star running back for Dallas versus guys who just know how to play good football, I guess, for now, on Seattle. The difference here is going to be who has got it done before and who knows how to get in place. Now, I give Dak Prescott credit because when he was in the big spot his freshman year in the NFL, he played like he was supposed to play as a starting quarterback in a big-time game. And you know, and Aaron Rodgers decided to, you know, let some magic happen, and he just Olay'd them. That happens sometimes. Sometimes you get finessed on luck plays. However, it will not be luck this time that will stop him. It will be just straight-up smash-mouth football. Dak's going to get the key fumble, because that's what he loves to do. He's going to get the key fumble that an experienced quarterback, just like the last one that beat him, is going to go ahead and take advantage of.
Seattle with the football?
I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Dak Prescott to throw football.
Of course. You have to. Yeah. I get that. I don't listen.
If all things are being equal, which they are, minus a little bit of talent difference, everything's still pretty equal between these teams. I'm taking the more experienced quarterback who's got done before. I'm taking Russell Wilson.
Lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
All right.
Lock it up.
Dallas has a guy on the team named Taco.
That's the truth. We got the Los Angeles Chargers traveling across the country to go play. Michael Vick says he's better than me. Jackson's great defensive Baltimore taking on the Chargers. They just met in week 16 where the Chargers were dominated almost 24-10 in that ball game. However, lock it up, y'all. My lock of the week. The Indianapolis Colts will not win, and neither will the Baltimore Ravens. Lock it up!
Lock it up!
Philip Rivers! That's the only thing that he has to do. Philip Rivers has no playoff wins worth a lick on his resume. Not a plug nickel. If you don't know that right now, that means that movie's on cable right now. Right in Remember the Titans is all over the TV right now. Okay. And bad news, y'all, bad news. Knox 3000 went out yesterday. The Knox 3000. A 65-inch 4K TV needs a power supply. I feel like I lost my dog, except I never had a dog before. Anyway, give me the Chargers to win that game, Micah. How you got this game going? I ain't got to say nothing else, but the Chargers to win this game, I'm sorry. All this talk about Baltimore, I'm sorry. You see this? If you see this team one time, you're going to probably lose. You've already seen you got to play against it again. You already know what they're going to do. I don't think Baltimore can win this game tomorrow. I'm taking the Chargers. Like I said, not only is it my – I'm locking it right now. It's my lock
of
the
game. You lock it up.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Lock it up.
The Baltimore Ravens. How you got it, Micah?
Yeah, it's going to look like, once again, I'm taking the more experienced quarterback. And even though the Ravens got a very, very starless defense and they're playing at home, I believe that with Phillip Rivers getting back a lot of the weapons that he didn't have the first meeting, it's going to make a big difference.
Playing.
So give me Phillip Rivers.
Hunter Henry's playing.
Give me the Chargers.
Ain't played all
year.
Lock
it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
How you guys going, Jay Chris?
Look, I wish Wally was here with us because he would laugh at what I'm about to say. Phillip Rivers is the best overrated quarterback in the league. Okay. He just is. And I say he's overrated because, well, for obvious reasons, but every time I've had him on my fantasy team, he's basically boo-booed the bed for me. Every time. Every time I wanted to believe in Phillip Rivers, he boo-booed the bed. Okay. I'm going with Baltimore in this. I'm betting on black. The Ravens probably going to have a blackout. I'm betting on black. Give me the Ravens in this game.
Lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Now
lock
the game that my family and I are always at odds. We needed it last week. Last week I needed my home team, the Chicago Bears, to beat their arch nemesis, the Minnesota Vikings, so that my Philadelphia Eagles would have to beat Washington, which we know no one was ever worried about in the first place, to get them in the playoffs. Favorite by 6 freaking points. There's a super teaser that has the Eagles underdogs by 13 points. $100 will get you $1,000. Hear me, people. Take the super teaser and take this teaser, because I'm not saying the Eagles will win outright, although I want them to, but they are covering 6 points all day, people. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles with my upset of the week. The Philadelphia Eagles. Now, we're talking about football, people.
Lock it up.
We're talking about all the intangibles. This is a Super Bowl team. They got the same exact attitude mind frame they had last year. No one thinks we can do anything. We're going against one of the best defense in the NFL. You can say it's the Ravens all you want to by statistically points, but against the run, the most takeaways, and the most sacks belong to the Chicago Bears. Okay, I believe in the Chicago Bears' offense more than people give them credit for. They got weapons. I've watched this team. The Bears are nothing to be played with, and they don't give up more than 24 points a game. The Eagles, can cover this point, but if I'm going to go ahead and just go the double route, and I will say I will take these when not just win the game and cover, but win the game outright. Win the game outright, 17-13, the way they won last year in the first round, which was the second round, against Atlanta, and in a close third game, the Eagles out upset of the week, people. You heard it. And all week long, I had the Bears win this game. I actually laughed at the thought that the Eagles could win this game. But today, I just dug in deep. It wasn't my emotions. It was me looking at the intangibles on the team. It's looking at this being the first playoff game of Soldier Field in so long, since the Rex Grossman years. Give me the Bears to not win this game. I'm sorry, Jay Chris. How you got it going?
Jeff Sessions.
Mm. Like that?
Jeff Sessions, I recuse myself from picking this game. But if you actually want me to pick the game, I'll go ahead and pick the Eagles. But
you better lock it up. Lock it up.
How you got it going, Micah?
Well, I want to go with you on your pick.
But you're not.
Here's the only reason why. But here's the only reason why. And I know y'all guys, your guys are playing hard nosed smash mouth. My only thing is this, and this is the only thing I had concern with. Even if y'all do win this game, I mean, I don't think you got Super Bowl aspirations. But in order for y'all to win this game, that means Matt Nagy has to become real stupid and not figure out a way to beat the guys who you have packing for UPS last week that's on your secondary now.
See, this is where, let me get a blind tag in there, because I thought about that too, and I argue with my brother about this when I told him I didn't think we could win the game, right? And as you talk more and you get your thoughts out more, that Eagles secondary, for what it's worth, I'm not saying that it's good, okay? But they got in that game, and a lot of those games, that Dallas game where they were hobbled, we were playing guys, as you said, that hadn't played. They had nothing but practice experience. Okay, you cannot duplicate game time situation and practice. We're talking about practice, not a game, but practice. They have been playing in the game the last 3 weeks, including, in my opinion, not shutting down, but controlling. Okay, one DeAndre Hopkins, hobbled or not, by it in that game. This secondary has confidence. They're playing more. They're on the field more. I'm not saying they're good, but when you're playing with confidence, confidence takes you a long way. Continue. I'm just saying, this is not the same Eagles secondary you saw against the Dallas Cowboys.
Did Micah leave? You're muted, brother, if you don't hear yourself talking.
I didn't know that combo was directed to me. Give me the rundown one more time.
You're the one who was talking. I'm not going to run it down again. Eagles secondary is good. They're not good, but they're not bad. They're not who they
are. I don't think the Eagles secondary is good.
They're not bad.
I don't think the Eagles secondary is good. They had UPS drivers. Come on, dude.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
This
is going to be a good weekend, as I say. This is wild card weekend. Like I said, last weekend, going in, I had it was so much excitement because, you know, you had the college playoffs. We're starting. I thought Notre Dame on Saturday would come up, and they came up and felt miserably against Clemson. I hadn't seen them play that way all year. People go, this is why you don't put Notre Dame in there. And I heard all this stuff about, you could have put UCF in there. You could have put Ohio State in there and blah, blah, blah. I don't hear that stuff. Okay. During the regular season, Notre Dame was who they were. Okay. And they went against a buzzsaw team. And if you watch Notre Dame and not just follow the polls, you see, this is my thing with people. especially today. People watch highlights. People watch SportsCenter and things like that and YouTube clips, and they think they know what they're doing. If you don't watch a team, like watch the team, you cannot speak about the team. And Notre Dame did not play like that all year. They got shut down. I don't know what play calls were being called, but I thought it was the most worst play call I've seen from Notre Dame football game since they played Alabama last. Okay, and that was, what, 4 years ago. Okay, so but going to that weekend, I thought, okay, that was good. We had a this UFC card. If we could have did a show last week, you know how I always go, J. Chris, to buy or not to buy. It was worth buying this card. We got to see Amanda Nunes. Okay, say what you want to say about her. I call her the GOAT of women's MMA. And here's why. I know we throw that word around there an awful lot, and we have the discussion we can talk about another day about Michael Jordan's video resurfacing with Michael Wilbon about why I would never say I'm the greatest of all time and things like that. But I'm going to say she's the best female fighter I've ever seen, because until now, we speculated with Ronda Rousey beat Cyborg. We thought, could Cyborg beat Ronda Rousey? We would always put them because of the way they were dominant. We said there was no one better than these two women. She beat them both. And not only did she beat them both, she knocked both their asses out in the first round. Okay? That's mind-boggling. And then we had this situation following John Jones where, oh, he tested positive again, and they had to move the fight from Vegas to Los Angeles. And, you know, people like Hugo, who's not here to defend himself and cannot defend himself to me for why he would ever like a Daniel Cormier over a John Jones. It just makes zero sense to me. And I uttered, he is the best fighter that UFC has ever had. Now, I don't care if you like the guy. You can like Anderson Silva more than him. You can like George St. Spartacus, who I've nicknamed him Pierre, more than him. You can like Conor McGregor, if you want to choose to put him there, more than him. John Jones has never lost. Never lost. And you got people saying, well, he took steroids. And I used a conversation between myself and Micah to copy and paste it and put my own words in there, what he said. But I heard the conversation. He used it, so I copied and pasted it about what he got caught with. And I'm going to continue, if you will, to have the conspiracy theory. Let's be real here, guys. If you know that a drug test is coming, there's no way you're going to fail it. I don't care what anybody say. You know that on this day, you're going to take a drug test 3 weeks from today. I guarantee you pass the drug test. But he passed every single random test. Go ahead.
Unless your name is Josh Gordon or Ricky Williams.
Good point. All right. They just didn't care. It's just weed. Okay, to them, it's just weed. Okay. But what's in his system, people, is not an antibiotic steroid. It's like a steroid. It's like damn near an asthma medicine. You know that, people? If you have an asthma pump and you have an inhaler, you are inhaling steroids. My mother took steroids to live because she had no feeling in her hand. Every steroid in the name steroid is not a steroid that is going to enhance your talent. It's not going to happen. MMA Tonight comes on in the car with my man Thomas, okay, Luke Thomas, who said, if it was just the steroids, he had this unbelievable power, I could say, oh, man, he's juicing. But if you watch John Jones fight and you see how he, the eyeball test, how he adapts in a ring, in a match when things aren't going his way or things are different, how he'd throw an elbow. I've seen this man grab another person's hand and use their hand and grip it to throw an elbow. That's not steroids. That's smart. That's uniqueness. That is God-given ability to do something that none of us can do. So I refuse to subscribe to the fact that this man is on steroids enough that he's beating these people. He's told you the same thing I'm going to tell you right now. I beat your ass while I was high on cocaine and Molly, and you still can't beat me. But you're here singing all about these cakes. Yeah, whatever. I got gay people in my family too, not putting down gay people, okay, whatsoever. But that man ain't a man getting an octagon beat John Jones. It's not going to happen. John Jones is the best fighter to ever fight in MMA. I said it. You don't like it? Come on this program. Come on Twitter. Come on Facebook. Let's go play some Twiddly Winks. I don't give a boop. It's not going to change my opinion. Johnny Bones Jones is worth the price of admission, people. Now, not like Floyd Mayweather taking $9 million making that kid cry, J. Chris. That was just embarrassing.
That was a joke.
They gave him $9 million to do whatever he wanted. Floyd looked at it.
Did you see the Manny shade? Did you see the Manny shade after? Did you see what he said?
What happened?
The Manny Pacquiao shade tweet that he put out there?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said something along the lines of, I can guarantee you, I he didn't mention Floyd's name or anything. So he said, I can guarantee you in 2019, I'll never fight someone that weighs less than me and has no experience. Something along those lines. I'll find it if Vaughn doesn't find it first.
It wasn't a fight. It's supposed to be an exhibition.
It was a
right?
joke.
Right? Apollo
it
died.
Was a joke.
It was an exhibition.
It was the CBC championship.
$9 million.
His next opponent is Martin Raw Dog Payne.
You stupid.
It was a joke.
Okay, I seen that meme. Okay, y'all can't get mad at Floyd.
I created that myself.
I can't. They can't get mad at Floyd for this. They paid that man $9 million for an exhibition. So what? It wasn't a fight. It was an exhibition.
I'm not mad at it. I'm just mad that it.
Well, people making
fun
of it.
Exhibition that ended the way it did. That's all. Floyd, you ain't to do that to that boy. You could have let him live in his own country for a little bit.
The boy cried. Micah, the boy cried.
He cried.
Hey, Micah, did you watch Wrestle Kingdom today? Were you off today? Are you back to school?
Micah, yeah, full-time schedule, man. Yeah, well, okay. You know, football is a full-time schedule.
Okay.
I found the tweet, Mike.
Okay, what did it say?
Manny Pacquiao said, here's a New Year's resolution, to continue to only fight experienced opponents who are my size or bigger. That was the tweet. This was after the Floyd fight.
Oh, Manny Pacquiao, here go a tweet for you. Shut up until you beat Floyd Mayweather. How about that?
Just focus on AJ.
Shut up and dribble.
And then to piss Hugo off, right? And I didn't say this to piss Hugo off. I meant this. All right. And you know me enough, both of you, to know that I got some wild opinions. Okay. If you don't like John Jones, it's because he's unapologetically black. This man doesn't care. If you watch the interview after the fight and Joe Rogan was asking him these questions, he was like, man, I want to thank my team. Oh, I couldn't have done it without my mama, my daddy, my shrimp trainer. Well, what about this? You know, my wife. Oh, she's the baba. Like, this man, like, I don't care what y'all say about me. Okay? I can care less what y'all say about me. And that's how I feel about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao, shut up. Shut up. You might. You might. You should. You should, and no one believes you shouldn't beat Adrian Broner. But what if Adrian Broner all of a sudden, which again, I doubt, okay, but what if all of a sudden he decides to say, I'm going to use this potential I actually was given, right? That's the problem with AB. AB wanted to be Floyd without working like Floyd worked. AB had all the talent. We saw the hand speed. He was just too damn arrogant. This is what happens when you give young black people in the hood money too damn fast, okay? Here's a quote. Here's a tweet. Adrian Broner is a product of R. Kelly. Okay? He was born from R. Kelly. That man was born because his parents had relations to R. Kelly. And look what's developed. Adrian Broner. Damn, I'll be there. Listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here, y'all. My time is up. Our time is up. We'll be back Monday for episode 1997. And episode 2000 is coming in 2 weeks. And we will have the world WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder on the program. It's been confirmed. People, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. Fingers. Protect your children. Y'all. Protect them.
straight cash, homie. This is the Soulless Voice, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
If you're not down.